What's up, people? This is Houston Clark, live from my new Hyundai Elantra, asterisk next to the new, very used, and you know what? It's got AC, and our previous car kind of gave out, so I'm thankful for it. But just coming off a delicious lunch, both in my belly and in person emotionally with none other than a soon-to-be-on-the-show Dan Carpenter's son, Robert. What a stud. Shout out to him and all he's doing. If you need your car detailed, people in Nashville, you let this boy know or let me know. In fact, I'll see if he wants to include his contact in my show notes, as they say. I don't actually have any show notes, but you're going to get some. So yeah, let me know. He's awesome, and he will do good work for you. Okay. Thought, worldview, what is it, and why you have one, and why it's important too. So, I need to do some more talking and thinking about worldview stuff. But I don't know where you come from, if you're religious, if you are, of what background. If you're not, I don't know if it's a particularly religious, I feel like it is. I've grown up in very religious circles my entire life and still, and very much in one now. And I love it, for the most part. But, what is, a worldview but the connotation behind that, my perception or if I had to guess what people think of it, I would say they think it's, like a, you know, more religious term. For your philosophy, maybe, or your religion, but not everyone necessarily has one, or some kind of philosophy of life, or whatever it might be. And I would argue differently and say that we all have one, whether you know it or not. And I hope that you know it, and I hope that it's because you've chosen that particular philosophy or worldview with thought and asked deep questions and really sought to kind of figure out, you know, what's going on here. And so what is a worldview? Well, let's start with the basics. It's a view of the world. Okay. From what perspective or what does that mean? Well, if you are wearing goggles that are blue, you're going to see the world all in blue. You're going to see a tree that is normally green with their leaves, and it's going to come across as blue. Or what's blue and green together? I don't even know. I need to go back and relearn my colors. You're going to see a white car like I'm passing right now, but it's going to be like a light blue, perhaps, because of the white bringing out the light. And so on and so forth, right? Now, if you grew up hearing all about math, your dad was a professor of math, your favorite subject in school was math, your mom, she is super cool, she is a bookkeeper for Krispy Kreme donuts. I'm saying that like it's true of someone I know. I don't know anyone in which that's the case, but it sounds awesome. I don't know, y'all, but the point is that's going to shape how you see the world. Shout out to You Are What You Love by Jamie Smith. It's a book, one of my favorites, if you're looking into more of this stuff from a Christian perspective and how it shapes the way we see the world. Check it out. But it's going to shape how you see the world, and we can't escape it. I think that's maybe the one thing I want to say and argue and maybe get people to think about is you have a worldview. It might not be coherent like a religious system or based on some text or book or written out. Might not be intentional in that way, but it is in you. Ask, and you can usually tell what those things are by what pisses you off, what you dream about, what you get excited about, who you hang out with, your thoughts on politics and religion and philosophy and, if you think there's a God or not. I mean, those types of things very much can show you what your worldview is. So if you're struggling to figure out kind of what that is, start there. What really makes you mad? And I'll tell you this right here, is what makes me really mad, man, road rage is so real. And I think it's so justified. That's the thing you don't understand, you guys. I have good road rage because it's right. BS, bro, that ain't true because I don't I just think it's justified, like all of us. That's just, there's something human about that, right? So, yeah, when I get ticked because somebody cuts me off, or my favorite, guys, this is so bad. When I'm on the highway, I want people, if I'm in the passing lane and I am actually in the passing position, I'm heading that way towards, you know, let's say I'm passing 18-wheeler, slowly but surely. But then there's somebody who's coming up behind me in the passing lane who wants me to go faster, and they try to very quickly get back in the regular lane to pass me in the passing lane before they run into that truck. You know what I'm talking about? I want that to happen, and if I'm in control, I want to lay on the horn. Just lay it on, because I'm like, okay, you, what the frig? Slow down. Like, you getting somewhere a little faster ain't gonna go that far, and also, like, this is dangerous and you're being dumb, and I just want to get super upset, and I usually do. But the reason that frustrates me, I would say, is a justice thing. It's like, that's just not right, and there's probably something to that. Maybe part of a jealousy, probably not, of like, I want to be going that fast, but I feel like I can't because that would be disobeying the law and I could risk having to pay a fine. And I'm trying to think about what else that might reveal. If I'm getting ticked at you going in front, it also could just mean, like, I have an angry disposition. It could also mean that the people in my life, that's how they respond to it, and I just picked up on that, not consciously realizing that's what I was doing, but that's definitely what has happened. There's just, like, a number of reasons why. My gosh, if I can say anything, let me say it right now. I don't want to admit this or realize this, but, like, so much of what I do and say I believe is not as much a conscious choice. Like, I didn't, you know, go through the many options of how I could respond to this person cutting me off and choose because I thought it was the best one to advance a justice, a just agenda, and, you know, it'd bring the most good to the most people, or it would make me feel the best. Like, I just responded without really thinking through it. And how much of what we believe, like, why are you a Patriots fan? Oh, maybe because you live close to the place. Guys, that blew my brains out when I started to realize how much we believe by proximity. Does that make sense? Like, let's say the reason that you like green is because your parents have a green car. Or maybe they gave you a gift that was green and you love that gift. Well, you're probably also going to like the green that goes along with the gift that you love. Okay, I mean, it's silly, but it's true. I just dare you to think about what you enjoy, and why you, like, the deeper things, you know, like, who are the kinds of people you like to hang out with, what are your dreams, what do you think about, the things that upset you, ask yourself why. And you might be surprised as to why that's the case. But getting back to worldview stuff, so that's the other thing, is that worldviews are not always as conscious, or we're not necessarily choosing them as much as we might think we do. And in a lot of ways, hopefully, we do, and that's true. Like, we actually do spend the time to read the text of the particular religion, or we consider somebody's thoughts, or we respond, you know, by reading a book or thinking about it, journaling, talking, praying. I mean, whatever, you know, that way that we do that is. But we just don't consciously choose to do that as much as we think. And so this is my thing. It's like, if we have the ability to choose, which I think we do, then why not choose by having looked at, you know, the facts, but also our emotions, our experiences, trying to reconcile all of that together to, in some ways, pick the one that makes the most sense according to reality. I can't tell you in my job, I have a super cool job. I work for RUF. This is Christian ministry to college students, and our mission is to reach students for Christ and equip them to serve. And so a lot of our conversations are about the basics of Christianity. Like, what is it that Christians say they believe, and why do they believe it? And something that I've even learned this past year, you guys, having grown up in the church my entire life, is that this whole Bible thing has a lot of facts behind it. It's not like this, oh, you're dumb if you don't believe it. No. But it's rooted in a person who was believed to be real. And a lot of scholars would agree with that. There's evidence to say that this guy was actually real. And more than likely, he was actually who he said he was. And so if that is the case, you kind of have to respond to that. But my point is, the people, maybe a lot of people that don't believe that, either, you know, haven't heard it and they just don't know, or if they think they know but they they don't, or maybe they would disagree and say it's not real, he wasn't real, or he wasn't who he says he was, or he is, but who cares? I'm like, dude, let me tell you what I think you're missing out on. Now, if you don't think after hearing me that you're missing out on anything, well then, don't waste your time with it. But dadgummit, if you are, wouldn't you want to know? And so, my point in saying all this is, I was talking to somebody, and they were kind of saying like, yeah, I don't really care that that is the case. Like, I'm fine with my life right now. And I guess my thing then would be, like, I think it's impossible to respond to the sweetness of a sweet roll and be upset. You can be pissed because you're just pissed at life or in that moment. But there's something in that sweet roll that lights up your soul. It touches you in a way that I just think is profound. I'm like, oh. Or just like a delicious meal, like your favorite home-cooked meal. Let's say, like, I don't know who's listening to this, but let's say you're in college or younger and you're coming home, hopefully, to a deliciously home-cooked meal from your mom or dad, and it just hits the spot, and it makes you remember the good times in the high school or, you know, growing up, or really sweet, I don't know, whatever it makes you remember, and you're like, that was awesome. That does something to you, not just physically, but emotionally and spiritually, and so I'm saying a worldview can do a lot. And we all have one. As Marshall Teague, shout out to him. He's a friend from back home. And in his Salt and Light sermon, when I was in high school, he was talking and he said, we're all in a river and we're either fighting upstream to believe what is hard to believe because a lot of people don't believe it, or they would say it's not true, but we as Christians believe the gospel to be the ultimate reality. You got to fight upstream to believe it, or if not, you're just going to go downstream. We're all in the stream. Like, we can't, there's no just like, I'm just going to sit on a rock and take a chill pill. It's like you're always moving in one direction or another. And so that's my encouragement. Number one is like, dude, check it out. I wonder what you do believe. And then whatever you do believe and you believe it to be true, well, then follow it. Keep going. It's a hard thing. This has turned into a lot of good stuff, y'all. Because it's like, all right, so I say I believe what I believe to be ultimately true. Great. You would also probably say that to be whatever that might be. And so then the question is, well, do we believe that there is an ultimate truth? I would say most people do, or they live like they do, because guess what? You might not believe in gravity, but it's true. It's keeping you on this earth. You might not believe that, you know, I don't know. There are certain things that have to be true for us to live. Like, gravity has to be real. Maybe we don't have to live like that, but I mean, our reality is based on that. Or like, it's good to be on time. Well, it might not be true, but you believe it to be true. That's why you show up on time to things, whatever. So if that's the case, we believe things to be ultimately true. And I say, I disagree with your truth. And here's why. Why do we get all pissed? And I'm right there with you. I'm no better. My gosh, I'm no better, but I'm trying to get better. Because if somebody says, hey, I disagree with that, I see it as a great opportunity to hopefully learn, because if I miss something, dadgummit, I want to be aware of it. And especially if it has consequences as much as heaven and hell or life and death. But I want to go at it, because look at this. If you are so sure of what you believe, well, then you shouldn't be worried about what other people have to say, right? But yet we live as if we're like on the tiptoes. And it's just going to fall apart if we can't, you know, defend this or that. And that's one thing that's given me such freedom, you guys, about Christianity, is it claims to be true, really, really big T true. Like, there's nothing that can separate us from God's love, that, like, God's word is real. He came, he is the word, and it all is based on this person. And regardless of if I can explain it or not, or speak the gospel, or evangelize, or do whatever I'm called to do well enough, or whatever, it's still true. It's not like, you know, human love, where, let's say I am your friend and I say something really mean to you, and I just turn into a psycho crazy person, and you're like, I don't like you, and you have maybe every right, I don't know, to be like, I'm not gonna be friends with you. That's an ending. Something happened. Nothing can happen to the word of God. It's true. It says that we need it to live. As more than bread itself. That's preposterous. That's preposterous, Clark. I believe it to be true. I don't understand it. But who said you have to understand something for it to be true? Ooh, now there's some philosophy that I didn't find in my sweet roll, but in the car. Oh my gosh, you guys, there's so much good stuff. So I guess I would love to hear, you know, what are some of y'all's worldviews that you would say? And then also, you guys, man, I am passionate about real things that are true, and I hope you are too. And there are things that you're passionate about that I'm not, that I would love to be passionate about or learn more about. But I hope that this podcast is a place where you can hopefully be encouraged to delve into what you really do believe in some ways, or to question things that you never have, and do it with an open mind, in the sense that you might be wrong and you might have to consider something that you haven't considered before. And I had to do that this past year in a lot of ways with my faith, and I was scared because I didn't know if I was a Christian or not. I read a book called Knowing God by J.I. Packer, and after reading it, I was like, oh my gosh, he's claiming that we can actually know God like I hopefully know some of you personally. I can call you on the phone, I can text you, I can say what's up, I can think of you when I think of something that reminds me of you. Like, those are, I would call, real connections, right? But thanks be to God that God's grace of salvation is a free gift. You can have it. You want it, take it. It's yours. Take it. Take it. Just gonna send it. Take it. Like, literally, that's all we have to do is receive it. And that is such good news. Romans 10:13, I think, or 13:10, I forget which one. I think it's 10:13, says that all those that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm calling upon them right now. I already know them, but I want to know them more. Lord, yeah, I want to know you more. It's that simple, you guys. You might not believe it. You might not want it. That's fine, but it's a free gift. And so what is your worldview? I'd love to hear. It's just fascinating. Like, I'll end with a couple of these tidbits. I'm trying to think of some interesting things. Ask yourself, like, why do you like what you like to eat? Chicken fingers? I love chicken fingers. Why do I like that? Well, I mean, I've had chicken fingers for a long time, but where did it begin? I mean, I guess I just acquired a taste for it, and I've just stuck with it. And I guess I had to try it at one point, which is probably due to my parents. Thank God they fed me real food. None of this healthy food when you're a kid. That's what your metabolism is for, is to burn off all the bad stuff. No, that's not a slight. I in some ways wish I'd eaten healthier, but that was my rebellion. My parents tried. But, you know, why are you so insistent on going to Harvard? I value knowledge too much, and I know that because it upsets me when I feel dumb, or that's what I don't like about certain situations, is I can pinpoint it and tell you it's because I'm feeling dumb. It's not because you're mean or you're rude, it's because I'm feeling dumb. And that's my story, that's my problem. So when I thought of, like, graduate school, or when I think about it, you know, well, yeah, I want to go to an Ivy or, like, somewhere really good, top notch. Why is that? Well, it's because I value knowledge, and because I think that there's something really awesome about knowledge. And the people I look up to, like a Tim Keller or a Jamie Smith or a Cornell West, they're all professor-esque. They all have either a PhD, or they teach, or they're smart. They quote things that I'm like, oh, that's so cool. And it's a jealousy. It's just a jealousy. So yeah, if I think that I can get close to being them by going to this place that they went, well, I'm gonna do it. And there's more to it, right? I mean, like, I do love learning. I think that's part of my story, but, what the frig, you guys? Who are we, and who do we think we are? That was the same question asked in two different ways. I'll end with this too, man. I'm excited, even if you're only the only one listening to this, because this is helping me to kind of flesh out what I believe, hopefully, and it also is, hopefully giving you a good inside look at how other people see the world. And that's another thing I'll say, is I just feel like what I'd wish more, and I want to do now more now that I have the time and I know it, is like to hear people's true thoughts and feelings and such. Because if I had known that, maybe I wouldn't be doing my dream job at 25, but you know what? I'm okay, and I actually enjoy my job. Or like different things that are true. Like when I was 15 thinking about some reality in the future, it was still true that maybe your dream job won't satisfy you. But I didn't know that. I never had my dream job or having the opportunity to give it. But if somebody who had had that experience and had been able to talk to me in that way, that would have gone so far. And I wish I'd had that. And so I hope this is like a place where somewhat deeper things that don't get talked about a lot, maybe because they're taboo or you're not sure what to think or you're uncomfortable, or these are all real things. I mean, I feel them all the time. I would love it if you would continue to listen and tell people about it, and follow me on Twitter. Check that out. And hoping to start like a YouTube channel maybe on some cool stuff I've thought about. I don't know. I'm just trying to grow it and see what happens. And would love for you to be a part of that journey. So thanks for listening. And talk to you next time. I think I'm going to talk or feature this one on the Word of God. But in a more secular context, stay tuned. Bye.